the Sutt Lifton Report, the place where the news is never hidden and the truth always wins. Today, we're going to spend some time talking about Biden's Afghanistan bumble and fumble and some of the background on this story, which reaches back into his days as a vice president. Some of this may surprise you. Today, I'm even pulling out a portion of a video I made 7 years ago to end some of the obfuscation of truth on some of these things. But first, let's get the show started with a reading from the Bible. Today, we're reading Hebrews 2, verses 3 to 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. This passage is part of that warning that J. Vernon McGee mentions. Think about this. What can you do to go to hell? Nothing. What do you have to do to earn hell? Nothing. God has sent his son so that all may live and have eternal life. He offered his son so that all may have that chance to become joint heirs with him. But so few accept. What are they doing when they hear about the work of Christ? Nothing. They neglect the offer of salvation. But what is required to act on this offer that God presents? A simple acceptance, a belief. No vow to do this or that, no requirement to change who you are. God does this for you. All you have to do is accept that God first loved you and that his son Jesus died on the cross for your sins. But to neglect this gift leaves you on a road to hell forevermore. Jesus did not come simply just to proclaim who he was. He did many miracles, so many that even those who did not think him to be the Son of God wrote about him doing miracles. He offered signs and wonders to the present, not in their time, but in his time. The greatest of all the miracles was his resurrection from the dead. Dear Lord Jesus, so many say no through neglecting the offer of salvation you put before them. Lord, I beg of you that those I know may come to know you as their Savior. You've changed my life. You've brought me happiness and joy. My life has meaning, Lord. I owe you so much because of what you've done in my life. Lord, use me that I might help others to see the great rewards in serving you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're going to talk about Afghanistan. And I thought it'd be interesting to start on this topic by looking at an article written in Iran News Daily. I thought this would – wait till you hear this one. This is kind of a surprise. It's not your typical stuff. Now, why do I say that? Because usually when we talk about Iran, we start hearing insults, about how they hate the United States. But this came from Iran News Daily, and I just thought an interesting part to start. Now, this came out in March, on March 13th of 2021. So let's go back this far. It says, Biden is a bigger liar than Trump. I do not forget hours after the time that Joe Biden began his term in the White House by putting an end to sordid presence of Donald Trump, who launched any threat in resorting to the U.S. ruling bodies. American Daily, the Washington Post, by issuing a report, reveled the number of false claims and lies which had been made by former President Trump, which stunned the minds of the people in the world. This reminded me of this article is written in Iran Daily News. It's not something I wrote. He writes, this reminded me of the fate of us after death, with a record of our performance during our days and nights in life is submitted and reveals what we have done above all what lies, what we have told in our lives. According to this report, Trump, during his 4 years in office, has had 30,573 lies or misleading claims. As per the report, the biggest repeated false claim or lie of Trump has been the remarks that he was responsible for creating the greatest economy in U.S. history. Newspaper claimed that under just about every metric, Dwight D. Eisenhower, Lyndon Johnson, Bill Clinton had more robust economies for their presidencies. According to this report, Trump's last false claim was made in his farewell speech at the Joint Base Andrews and hours before Biden's swearing-in ceremony was held in the speech. Trump addressed, this goes on and on, and it talks about how you can't trust that they're saying Trump wasn't be trusted, but Biden is far worse. Why was that important to Iran in respect to this? Now, pay attention. If Iran is calling Biden, who's a far worse liar than Trump, now that is actually important to think about because they're the ones watching. What's going to happen if Afghanistan doesn't trust Biden? Well, they actually came out and said the same thing. They think Biden's a bigger liar. They have no confidence in him. They think he's a namby-pamby wuss. The one thing they respected about Trump is he was a man of his word, and he was a threat to them. They were scared because he knew what the military could do, and he wouldn't be afraid, and he wasn't afraid to use it. But we have namby-pamby Biden in there, and they are not afraid. Let's talk about this. As you know, Kabul, the capital of Afghanistan, has fallen. This week marks the first time the media in general has questioned the veracity of President Biden and his team. Now, MRC TV is one of those great organizations out there that I want to recommend and point you towards. If you're not subscribing to them, I'm going to recommend you do that because you will find stuff there that will surprise you. One of the things they pulled out this week, and I'm trying to get this up. Hopefully it's ready. I wasn't ready before I started. Now I'm getting into this. Okay, let's see. Let me hit refresh and see if this does it one more time. And I am looking for I did not see it. That's a problem. Not cool. Some of these things, sometimes when you're putting things up for the show, things don't always go the way you want. All right, so let's just try this one more time. I had a clip on NBC. Let's see if it shows up, and it is not. Great. We are going to fight to get this up. How can I get that up? Let me explain. President Biden has been caught basically with his pants down, just trying to let's try this one more time. I'm going to hit refresh one more time. Hopefully it won't take me out of here. This is a little frustrating when you load stuff up and it doesn't show up. Here we go. And one more time, and then I'm going to I always believe there's – I hate this saying nowadays that I work someplace where, you know, with animals, but here we go. Showed up this time. So MRC captured the media this week, changing their opinion on Joe Biden. Now, what do I mean by that? This is kind of shocking. Now, I love this. Here we go. I'm just going to play it.
NBC News Chief Foreign Correspondent Richard Engel has the latest from Kabul.
Tens of thousands of Afghans swarmed into Kabul airport, desperate to leave at any price. They burst through security, climbed over walls, and spilled onto the tarmac, searching for any airplane that would take them far away from Afghanistan, away from the Taliban. So many managed to cram into one plane, the pilot refused to take off. People on board refused to disembark. But it was across a barbed wire divide where it turned really ugly. On the military side of the airport, American troops trying to evacuate U.S. Embassy staff found themselves overwhelmed, suddenly battling crowds, firing warning shots. This was not the mission they came for. The Pentagon says U.S. troops shot dead two armed Afghans. But still, the crowds didn't disperse. Instead, they ran along and clung to the undercarriage of a military transport plane as it taxied for takeoff. One U.S. military official told me it was 100 times worse than the humiliating American pullout from Saigon. Afghans are running from the Taliban, now in full control, setting up checkpoints with the very weapons American taxpayers bought for the Afghan army, which collapsed instead of fighting. After the U.S. pulled out of bases and left them without air support. And the U.S. didn't see this coming? We reported on the tremendous security vacuum created when the U.S. left Bagram Air Base 2 months ago, leaving it so undefended and empty, I was able to bike down the runway. the warning signs were there. And this weekend, Kabul was taken without resistance. And the Afghan president fled. Still in the country are tens of thousands of Afghan interpreters marked for death by the Taliban, who were taking their meals in the presidential palace, settling in, celebrating their victory. A 20-year war, the longest in U.S. history, ended in disgrace. The U.S. leaving behind a country its citizens are too terrified to live in. The administration maintaining it was taken by surprise.
Was it taken by surprise? We're going to get into that. Let's listen to one more thing about the turn on President Biden. I think the most condemning piece I've seen on Biden's incompetence in Afghanistan, I heard from Mark Dice. Now, Mark Dice is someone I think people should listen to. He has a little bit of humor and sarcasm, but let's listen to this one.
Joe Biden and his merry band of misfit military leaders who are more concerned with recruiting gender non-binary CIA agents instead of people who actually know how to conduct intelligence operations turned America into a complete embarrassment in front of the entire world due to the disastrous withdrawal of our troops from Afghanistan. It went so bad that old Joe has united the country, and now everyone agrees that his administration is completely incompetent.
We should hold him accountable for his leadership during this time, which has frankly been an utter failure. This, what we are seeing on the ground right now, should have been done differently, and there is only one person to hold responsible, and that is President Biden.
All around, this is just a horrible, horrible mar on the United States under President Joe Biden.
President Biden reportedly told his advisors he wanted to avoid tragic and humiliating images like those from the fall of Saigon after the humiliating U.S. withdrawal from Vietnam. Biden now has images as part of his legacy that are arguably far worse.
This is worse. You know, the Secretary of State goes on TV this morning and says that this is not a new Saigon. He's right. It's worse.
The country is essentially now in the hands of the Taliban for all intents and purposes. They've taken over Kabul. The president, or should I now say the former president of Afghanistan, Ashraf Ghani, has fled the country. The Taliban have taken over the presidential palace. They've renamed the country the Islamic Emirate, taken down the Afghan flag, and hoisted up their own colors.
Grandpa Joe had a busy weekend of eating ice cream and napping when the Taliban succeeded in their armed insurrection, and so the entire world was wondering, where is old Joe? And so the White House released a statement that he would address the nation later this week about the news. Hey, what's the rush? Then after further embarrassing America by hiding in his basement, his caretakers rolled him out in front of the teleprompter to read a statement where he blamed everybody but his administration. Further compounding the embarrassment, this was old Joe just a few weeks ago addressing people's concerns about the withdrawal.
Is a Taliban takeover of Afghanistan now inevitable?
No, it is not. Because you have the Afghan troops have 300,000 well-equipped as any army in the world and an air force against something like 75,000 Taliban.
Don't worry, folks. The Afghanistan army is just as capable as any other army, he said, which we've been training for 20 years, by the way. And here they are, unable to even figure out how to do jumping jacks.
If you didn't get to see this video, you can sit there and laugh because they can't figure out what American jumping jacks are. Unbelievable. They couldn't follow that simple direction.
Old Joe dug himself in a really deep hole this time. Here he is at that same press conference just a few weeks ago, promising that this wouldn't be anything like the fall of Saigon during the Vietnam War quagmire.
The Taliban is not the North Vietnamese army. They're not remotely comparable in terms of capability. There's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of a embassy of the United States from Afghanistan. It is not at all comfortable.
Under no circumstances, huh? Even Don Lemon, the dumbest man on television, could see the obvious.
You know what? There's no way to put it. Sugarcoated. The words are harsh, and they should be. They should be harsh. Words like chaos, debacle, disaster, even comparisons to the fall of Saigon, for those of you who are old enough to remember that. That is the only way to describe what we are seeing right now in Afghanistan and what we have seen.
It's actually worse than the fall of Saigon, because that famous photo of the helicopter on top of that building actually rescued people, whereas this military aircraft, which fled the Afghanistan airport, ended up killing at least three Afghanis who tried to hitch a ride on the aircraft and then later fell to their death. I'm surprised that old Joe didn't commend the Taliban for reinstituting the mask mandate now that the Taliban is in charge because, well, the women are going to have to wear burqas again. And this is not a joke, by the way. The Taliban has a Twitter account. Yes, the armed militant organization, which just overthrew an entire country, has a spokesperson, of course, like, you know, any terrorist organization or government does, and they have a Twitter account. Donald Trump, as you know, when he was the seated president, was banned from all major social media platforms after a mostly peaceful protest at the Capitol. Got a little bit out of hand because they said that he incited an insurrection, but a literal armed militant insurrection that overthrew a country has their Twitter account still. The fall of Afghanistan will probably drop from the news after today or tomorrow, and they'll get back to playing their regularly scheduled broken record about the mask mandates, mandatory vaccinations, and Bill Gates has even returned and is doing interviews, even though, of course, he's not a doctor, but he has plenty of medical advice that he likes to share with us little people. I'm sorry, share. I mean, force upon us. I'm not sure who's worse, him or the country's lead quack, who should also be arrested. So to help spread the word, order my new Arrest Dr. Fauci shirt from my online store at Mark.
Okay, so I'm going to say this. What he did, for what Mark Dice did, was showing all that information that the people are of the media have turned to partially expose that this was insane, that this should have been dealt with better. But will they keep doing this? Here's the thing that I found interesting. Let's go back just as far as Friday. What was the media saying about Afghanistan? What was it saying about threats to the country? Just going as back as far as Friday. Now, this is what I found interesting, just following these thoughts. And it's going to sound a little disjointed, but as far back as Friday, the major media outlets like MSNBC were using people like Miles Davis to make a claim that national security experts were saying radicalized Republicans are a greater threat than Al-Qaeda and ISIS. If that's what they're saying about America during this time. Now, I want to say again, MRCTV caught this, and I want to share this because I think it's important to see. Some of this stuff is just there to hide other things, and I think that's important here. On Friday, they were saying this. Now, I'm going to talk about this. Again, this is all relating to what happened, to the media's coverage of Afghanistan. So, again, originally they were hiding this. How did they hide what was happening in Afghanistan? They started to blame the Republicans.
Just today, I was talking to someone who, I'm not going to dime out on television, but a very prominent former U.S. commander who said there are elements of the GOP that are starting to look like the jihadists that he used to fight in Afghanistan and Iraq, spreading lies and conspiracy theories to radicalize the population. This was a very serious four-star commander who said that the GOP is starting to look like jihadists, and someone who I think has personal conservative views. That's the environment that we're in. So there's no question this was an attack of domestic terrorism. And I worry similarly about the continuing radicalization of the electorate. And if you go back and look in time, and I say this as a counterterrorism guy, if you look in time at terrorism movements, they don't start usually immediately with violence. They usually start with a political grievance that leaders say cannot be solved through peaceful means. And then they move to violence. So after Trump started to propagate the big lie in November, a lot of us in the national security community said what he's doing is actually tilling the fertile soil for extremists to pop up later on. In fact, we saw it as a ticking time bomb for an increase in domestic terrorism. And I think over the next 2 years, you are going to see that. You are going to see the spike in cases, and you're going to see that because radicalized elements of the Republican Party now represent a bigger threat to our democracy than organizations like Al-Qaeda or ISIS ever did. Now, not necessarily the human lives, not necessarily, but a bigger threat to our democracy than those terrorist groups ever did, because these are institutions, political institutions, that are attacking our democracy, trying to rewrite the rules, and irrevocably breaking our bonds as Americans. And they're doing it all from the inside. It's something that our enemies could never have even dreamed of.
Now, you know, I'm connected with a good many national security experts, and I would tell you that this, they would say that this is a gaming of the liberals against all that is good, and it's a propaganda industry. Those who've been listening to this show see how it fits into the Soviet communist ploy to make America communist that Yuri Bezmenov warned us about back in 1985 when he did a national interview explaining this. I played that tape for you a couple weeks back, or actually close to a month ago. But there was a purpose in getting this story out on Friday. It was to make the appearance the Taliban taking over Afghanistan much faster than they expected. Now let's pay close attention. That was on Friday, okay? It seemed the Democratic Party was about 4 days behind the news cycle. Now, that's important to understand. Because on the 10th of August, the Sun had been reporting that the Taliban was going door to door. So if this is happening on August 10th, they're reporting this. This is what I'm getting at. The news cycles already reporting on Taliban taking over. And Biden's claiming he couldn't see this coming. So how is it that the news, the Democrats are at least 4 days behind? Let me read you what was said in this Sun. This is the Sun.com. It was written by Jacob Bentley York. The article is titled, "Dragged to Hell, Taliban Going Door to Door, Dragging Out Girls as Young as 12 to Make Them Fighters' Sex Slaves in Terrifying Rampage." Taliban, again, according to this article, August 10th, again, think about this. They're saying this was done quickly. No, it was not done extremely quickly. The Taliban are going door to door to round up young girls to be sex slaves to fighters in the terror group, the report claims. An inside source suggests that Taliban leaders are attempting to kidnap and force marry women after local leaders in Afghanistan were asked to present a list of those aged 12 to 45 last month. Last month. So this was planned out. Yes, it's been planned out. It's been planned out for some time. We're going to talk more about that. And what I want to say is, if you think about how far back we go with this, during Bush's time, when they were looking for leaders in Afghanistan, a lot of those who ended up becoming leaders that helped the United States at some point were actually members of the Taliban who had the skills. They had the skill sets they needed to help govern. That's one of the things that I was told by returning soldiers that they were concerned about. And I was like, wait a minute, aren't those the guys we went over we were fighting when we were going in to take care of Al-Qaeda? Yes. You know, here I was saying in the back of my head when this was all going on back in early 2001, 2002, I was saying, look, you know, we're going to have a problem when I saw some of these soldiers come back. Yeah. They saw it too. They became friends, but they didn't fully trust. But as you can see, this problem was rising. This article continues. According to Bloomberg, the move signals the start of a terrifying rampage amid a return to harsh Sharia law. Well, there is no such thing as mild Sharia law. Women cannot leave the house without a male escort and are being told it will be compulsory to wear a hijab. As many schools and businesses are being destroyed, women will also only be allowed to attend school if their teacher is female. The Taliban warned that anyone caught defying rules will be seriously dealt with. sounds like what they had before. Consequently, terrified women, dreading their future, are now fleeing the war-torn country as Afghan fathers expressed fears Taliban thugs will take away their daughters and force them to be slaves. Can they become sex slaves if they are Muslim? Truthfully, they're not supposed to. That's the interesting part. Unless they are declared not Muslim enough. Something to think about. That would be saving an apostate by making them a sex slave, in their opinion. This is stuff that has been planned out. You've just heard it. For over a month, they've been doing this. And yet Biden's like, oh, this just happened too quickly. It's been planned, people. Let's go a little farther into the future. Now, we're not going too far. Let's go back to the 12th. Now, on the 12th, ABC News got into this story. All right? They started, they got the story out there a little bit. They were talking about how the Taliban fighters were executing surrendering troops, which could amount to war crimes. Okay. Came out in ABC News, Connor Finnegan and Luis Martinez. As Taliban forces advanced on more provincial capitals, the U.S. is warning that its fighters are committing atrocities that could amount to war crimes. The State Department will also again be reducing its staff levels at the U.S. Embassy in Kabul due to the evolving security situation. Begin reducing its staff? Wait a minute. So you want to pull out the military, leaving civilians. How is that intelligent? That just reveals some insanity here. Somebody thought that it would be intelligent to leave civilians unable to defend themselves. Thought it would be more important for the military to pull out before the civilians. Is opposite of what Trump's plan actually was when they were talking about pulling people out. So again, if you understand that and you go back and you research it, you're going to find out this is Biden's own plan. Oh, so wait a minute. Who proposed that? And he's got those people in office, and this is the thing. This got to be owned only by Biden. And that was on the 12th. Saturday, the story about the growth of ISIS and the Taliban gradually takes over of Afghanistan. Okay. Now, this one came out in PJ Media. Let me pull this one up. Now, PJ Media, this was by Matt. Let me just get the article back up. By Matt Margolis. Came out, the 14th. After Biden botched Afghanistan, DHS warns of new terror threat. Oh, so who are they warning of the terror threat? All the progress made by Trump in the war on terror seems to have been magically erased by Joe Biden at the Department of Homeland Security. He issued a new threat alert on Friday, reported the Washington Times. According to the report, DHS has detected signs of life, 20th anniversary of the 2001 terror attacks. The signs of life include the Islamist terror organization. Again, there's no such thing as an Islamist is a made-up word for describe Muslims. Muslim terror organization, Islamic terror organization, issuing its first new message in more than 4 years, reads the report. Homeland Security also reiterated its warnings over dangers stemming from what it has come to call racially and ethnically motivated violent extremists. Are they extremists? Are they outside the norm? No. Extremism means somebody outside the norm. That is a problem. That is that the liberals are referring to people as extremists just because they don't like them. So they're labeling people. That's what extremists has become. It is a political this political correctness now labels anybody who doesn't agree with them as an extremist. So in some circles, extremists are people who commit violence. Well, the FBI looks at it that way. and they commit crimes. They might have thoughts one way, but the people who actually act, they consider extremists. Again, I have problems with the misuse of this word. Let's keep going. This article says, of course, Biden's Homeland Security won't link these signs of life to the Taliban's nearly complete takeover of Afghanistan. Thanks to Biden's withdrawal. Nope. COVID. Blame COVID. Joe Biden even recently said he does not regret his decision to withdraw from Afghanistan. The reopening of institutions, including schools, as well as several dates of religious significance over the next few months could also provide increased target opportunity for violence. Though there are currently no credible or imminent threats identified to these locations, the DHS said. So they're like clueless. And this is Biden's DHS. Yes, clueless, but were they informed? Were they? This is the part that gets interesting. They have been keeping you from the truth. They don't want you to know how long this is going on. I've already read to you how it's been planned out by the Taliban for at least a month, okay, that they had talked about, that they had these plans that were being revealed a month ago, okay? So where's the intelligence? Why did they not know it? Again, it was written up in The Sun. The Sun already told you about this. It was happening a month ago. So why is the Save Joe Biden media not catching on to this? Because they don't want you to be – to say that Biden, Mr. Dementia, has done something wrong. But again, the information's out there. This has been talked about for a very, very long time. It's been expected. So let's just go back to August. Let's go back just a little ways. On August 18th, yesterday, an article came out by The Guardian. It's labeled a massive policy fail. CIA warned the White House of swift Taliban takeover. Oh, so now they're not hiding it. Again, they've been warned, they've been warned, they've been warned, yet they keep saying it's a surprise. Why is that? Again, it's the media propaganda out there spinning this lie that it was a quick takeover. It was not, people. It was not a quick takeover. It was a well-planned takeover that had been in the works for months. And we're going to get into who had a hand in this in a little while. A massive policy fail. Again, this is an article, again, by Guardian, a massive policy fail. CIA warned the White House of a swift Taliban takeover. Former CIA counterterrorism chief Douglas London said, Biden was warned Afghan forces might capitulate within days. Do you remember when we went in, one of the fastest things that happened was they laid down their weapons. The Taliban did. Well, one of the things you will find that there are some cultures where they will not fight for their freedom. It's one of the things we have discovered over there. They would rather run. It's something to think about. They don't have that faith to stand behind being free. They don't have that desire. Why? Because in some ways that goes against their belief in Islam to have those things. Keep going. This article says both the Trump and Biden administrations were warned by U.S. intelligence that Afghans' army resistance to the Taliban could collapse within days after an over-hasty withdrawal, according to a former CIA counterterrorism chief. Press accounts of the White House decision-making in recent days has suggested that Joe Biden was led to believe that it might take 18 months for Kabul and Ashraf Ghani's government to fall. Last week, unnamed officials were widely quoted as saying it could be 30 to 90 days. On Wednesday, the chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, told reporters, there was nothing that I or anyone saw that indicated a collapse of this army or this government in 11 days. Biden said the truth is this did unfold more quickly than we had anticipated. When he spoke to the nation on Monday, Douglas London, the CIA's former counterterrorism chief for South and Southwest Asia, said the president was being misleading at best. The CIA anticipated it as a possible scenario, London had said. London left his post in 2019, but served as a volunteer advisor to the Biden campaign. in a detailed account on the Just Security website on Wednesday. He described the intelligence briefings to the Trump and Biden teams, which gave different estimates of how long Ghani and Afghan forces could endure a Taliban offensive, depending on the speed and depth of the U.S. retreat. So it was it 30 days from withdrawal to collapse, 60, 18 months? Actually, it was all of the above, he says, the projections aligning with the various what-ifs, London wrote. Ultimately was assessed Afghan forces might capitulate within days under the circumstances we witnessed, in projections highlighted to Trump officials and future Biden officials alike. So there. Now, this is back. I mean, again, we're talking about Trump is still in office. We're talking about November and December. Sorry, we're talking about more November, December, and into January that this information is being shared. Think about that. But Biden says he didn't know. Well, here we are. It's August. And Biden saw it coming. Trump saw it coming. There was an extent that they knew that the Taliban would take over. They had been informed this would happen. It was inevitable. It was not a surprise. What's the problem here? Is that it looks bad. It makes it look like they didn't learn anything. Let's keep going. Now, this warning as far back. There's another warning here. It came as far back as September that this was going to happen. Now, I caught this article. It comes from Radio Free Europe. Exclusive. Taliban's expanding financial power could make it impervious to pressure. Confidential reports warned. Now, this came September 16th of 2020 by Fruit Bezen. He writes, the Taliban's burgeoning financial might or could make the militant group immune to pressure from the international community as it negotiates a role in post-war Afghanistan. It continues, the Taliban has achieved or is close to achieving financial and military independence, a scenario that could allow the Sunni, quote, extremist, they're using that word again, group to renege on key commitments it has made under the U.S. brokered peace plan, aimed at ending the 19-year war, the report warns. The financial independence enables the Afghan Taliban to self-fund its insurgency without the need for support from governments or citizens of other countries, said the report, based on interviews with senior Taliban operatives. It also arguably provides insurance for the Taliban's continued relationship with other listed terror groups, including Al-Qaeda. Duh. Big surprise there. Again, if you're paying attention, this was back when Mike Pompeo was there. And Mike Pompeo was meeting with a former deputy to Mullah Omar. Now, this is Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar. Let's keep talking. This stuff, these people, these leaders of the Taliban, let's keep thinking about this. What is actually happening? Well, keep in mind, they had sped out. They were getting their own income. Taliban was making millions. In fact, the amount of money they were taking in, that was what this article was all about. How could they be taking in all this income? Well, the Taliban had expanded its financial powers, according to this article, in recent years through increased profits through illicit drug trade, illegal mining, and exports. Estimating the group's earning in, okay, this is by March of 2020, a staggering $1.6 billion that they had figured this out by March of 2020. Are you telling me they didn't have a clue something was happening? Why would the Taliban be reaching out to make this kind of cash? Well, to make things happen faster. This is not a no-brainer, people. We've seen it coming, but they don't want to talk about it. This was not quick. This was misinformation that the mass media has pushed on you. It was a lie. Let's go back again. Let's take a look at the next thing here. In fact, they had taken measures. This is what it really gets into. Biden did some things that would make this, what I mean by bungle, he did things that would make it worse for Americans. Again, I am referring directly to his plan to dismantle things that would make it safer for American citizens. He removed the protection for citizens who are in Afghanistan a good ways back. That's something to think about. Now, this article came out yesterday. It says the Biden administration, this is in Fox News, Biden administration moved to dismantle protections for citizens trapped overseas months before Kabul's fall. Oh, wait a minute. Why would he do that? This came out by, it's written by Houston Keen and Rich Edson, again, in Fox News. The Biden administration moved in June to dismantle a system designed to protect American citizens trapped abroad just months before the Taliban took over Afghanistan. 2 months before. So Biden was making it easier for the Taliban to take things over and to trap American citizens. So this tragedy that turns out to be 100 times worse than what they're saying the fall of Saigon was, this travesty was created not by President Trump, but by Biden. This horrible thing. Let's keep paying attention here. What's really going on? Is Biden actually the one making these choices? Now, let's not forget our military people over there that served. How are they taking this? There's a gentleman whose name is Chris Bolander. He wrote, want to pay attention to what he wrote. And I think it's important. I'm trying to be able to see this. Just a second. I have to reduce the size of the font so I can see it. All right. He wrote, "How a Marine Captain Sees Afghanistan." And I really want you to pay attention to this. I don't want to ignore, and I just lost it. Go. All right. He says, "We did our job. We clawed, bled, and killed to survive because we don't quit. We accomplished our mission years ago. Then we pulled 95% of our troops out between 2014 and 2018. He says, "We kicked ass and we were bonded forever. To all the services and contractors, we rocked it. Now it's up to them to fight their own war. It's time no longer to deploy that godforsaken place. Let's not look back, but instead pray for our fallen, their families, and the good Afghans that deserve a better life." You know, I think the military, men like this captain, know what he's talking about. And I've seen pictures of and stories where soldiers are devastated by this. You know, they feel like their life's work over there was for naught. But I'm one of those that really think that we should not have been over there. I think we were over there for the right reasons to begin with. But I think when Bush made a statement saying we were there to make the world safe for democracy, that he lost the reasoning for why we were there. We were there making our world safer by attacking those who attacked us. We brought the war to them. Let's keep going here. This is not what's on the major media outlets. They're not discussing this next piece. And I want to mention this. Who is it that caused the current Taliban leader to be freed? Well, MRC TV came out with something, and I'm going to read two pieces on this. The current Taliban leader was freed in exchange for that deserter Bergdahl by Obama in 2014. And this is actually extremely important. The scandalous Obama administration, this comes from Nick Kangadis. Again, it's from MRC TV. The scandalous Obama administration chickens have come to roost, ironically, during what many have called former Barack Obama's third term, otherwise known as the Biden regime. Same screw-ups, different president. Or is it? Y'all remember former U.S. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, don't you? If you don't, Bergdahl was the soldier that admittedly deserted his post in Afghanistan in 2009, leading two other soldiers being permanently disabled while searching for him. The Obama administration brokered a deal in 2014 which the Taliban would free Bergdahl in exchange for five Afghan detainees. Now, they were referred to back then as five Taliban kings. I don't know if you remember this, but well, I sure do. Here's the rub. All five of the detainees who were released by the Obama administration were said to be relegated to Qatar. They couldn't influence Taliban activities in Afghanistan and are now all apparently Taliban leaders, often referred to as the Taliban Five. The New York Post is reporting that one of those free detainees, Karula Kerkwa, met with representatives of the Biden regime in Moscow to negotiate the final terms of the U.S. withdrawal. Huh. So if you start thinking about this, this is a result of Obama's doing, not of Trump's. And if this is all influenced by Obama, is he the person making the choices for the Biden administration? This is stuff you have to start asking. All five of those people, think about that. They're now back where they were. Think about it. The Pentagon had previously advised the Obama administration during that time period that Kerkwa was too dangerous to release, but Obama included him in the five and released him anyways. The New York Post had said, soon after gaining their freedom, some of the notorious Taliban Five pledged to return to fight Americans in Afghanistan and made contacts with active Taliban militants there. But the Obama-Biden administration turned a blind eye to the disturbing intelligence reports. And it wasn't long before the free detainees used Qatar as a base to form a regime in exile. After raiding the presidential palace in Kabul, a group of armed Taliban fighters told Al Jazeera that they were arranging to bring back their Gitmo Patrol leadership from Qatar upon securing the capital. One unidentified fighter who blasted America for oppressing our people for 20 years claimed he had also been locked up in Guantanamo Bay facility. It's more evidence that the Gitmo catch-and-release policies facilitated the fall of Afghanistan to the enemy that Washington vowed to crush after 9/11. You're catching this, aren't you? So this is all going back to Obama. And is he the one pulling the strings? This is the stuff we have to think about. Well, Robert Spencer put in his two cents on this, too, and he wrote a piece for PJ Media on it. He wrote, it was one of the worst trades in history, even worse than Nolan Ryan for Jim Fregosi or Kobe Bryant for Vlad Divac. Back in 2014, Barack Obama traded five Taliban commanders for one American who we were led to believe had been captured by the Taliban. This is what his story was. That's what Obama told us. But we knew better. The soldiers knew better. And they were disgusted. Obama did all he could to make the swamp seem normal. He said at the time the recovery of Sergeant Bo Bergdahl was a reminder of the Americans' unwavering commitment to leave no man or woman in uniform behind on the battlefield. And the five Taliban jihadis were sent to Qatar, where they were ostensibly to keep kept out of trouble. 7 years later, Bergdahl is known as a deserter, not a hero. In 2017, he pled guilty to desertion and was given a dishonorable discharge. And now Karula Kerkwa, one of the jihadis Obama traded for Bergdahl, is among the Taliban leadership that just took Kabul. Obama's deal was fishy from the start. Bergdahl was known as a deserter even at the time the deal was made. Former infantry officer Nathan Bradley Bethea, who served with Bergdahl in Afghanistan, wrote in the Daily Beast that Bergdahl was a deserter and soldiers from his own unit died trying to track him down, refuting reports that Bergdahl got separated from his unit while on patrol. But they had declared, make no mistake, Bergdahl did not lag behind on a patrol, as was cited in news reports at the time. There was no patrol that night. Bergdahl was relieved from guard duty, and instead of going to sleep, he fled the outpost on foot. He deserted. This man continued, I've talked to members of Bergdahl's platoon, he wrote, including the last Americans to see him before his capture. I reviewed the relevant document. That's what happened. So, Robert Spencer writes, 3 days before he deserted, Bergdahl wrote to his parents, quote, I am ashamed to be an American, and the title of U.S. soldier is just the lie of fools. I am sorry for everything. The horror that is America is disgusting. Robert Spencer continues. Then there was the Taliban's 2010 claim that Bergdahl had converted to Islam and was teaching bomb making to its jihadis. Documents revealed in 2014 to corroborate the claim. And yet they brought him out. According to one of these documents, dated August 23rd of 2012, conditions for Bergdahl have greatly relaxed since the time of his escape. Bergdahl has converted to Islam and now describes himself as a mujahid. Bergdahl enjoys a modicum of freedom and engages in target practice with a local mujahideen, firing AK-47s. Bergdahl is even allowed to carry a loaded gun on occasion. Bergdahl plays soccer with his guards and bounds around with the pitch like a madman. He appears to be well and happy, as a noticeable habit of laughing frequently and saying salam repeatedly. The Obama-Biden administration ignored all this, made the lopsided deal, and treated Bergdahl as a returning hero at a Rose Garden ceremony featuring the deserter's parents. Now, if you watched that, you would have been disturbed by Bergdahl's father. Meanwhile, Obama's own intelligence team warned him that four of the five jihadis he traded for Bergdahl were most certain to return to jihad. He ignored this, and so Karula Kerkwa was free to join other Taliban representatives in Qatar in 2019, negotiating the terms of America's withdrawal from Afghanistan, which I just mentioned. Think about that. During those protected, fruitless, foredoomed negotiations, Kerkwa declared in March of 2021, quote, "I started jihad to remove foreign forces from my country and establish an Islamic government. And jihad will continue until we reach that goal through a political agreement, or, as things turned out, until old Joe Biden leaves Afghanistan without bothering to have his military," which was too preoccupied with making sure enforce woke orthodoxy anyways. The presence of Karula Kerkwa among the Taliban leadership in Kabul is a vivid illustration how disastrously wrong-headed, futile, and self-defeating the left's foreign policy really is. Jihadis will happily lie to Americans to get what they want, as Obama's team happily accepted the assurances that the five jihadis from Guantanamo for Bergdahl would not return to jihad. Or was that what Obama wanted? Again, this is the man who claimed he was a Muslim. He did it repeatedly. Yet the media would not let you hear that. Now, that's my question. Is this a long-term plan that Obama had in place? So let's not forget who freed the now-dead Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, ISIS leader. Who did that? Who freed him? Now, I'm going to play a piece of a video I posted 7 years ago. Now, you can still find this on YouTube. You type Paul Sutliff in and you type ISIS, you will find this in YouTube, which you can, again, find its entirety on YouTube. So today when I was doing a little bit more prep, I wanted to see if I could find more stuff on who released al-Baghdadi. How did he become a leader? And I was finding they're hiding this because it ties back to Obama. The news people, the fact checkers, they're hiding this because people are starting to connect this. But let me play this video. Hello, Annie. This is 7 years ago. 7 years ago. I want you to think about this. I did this video 7 years ago. And now I've got to figure out where it is in here. So hold on just a second when I look for it. I'm amazed when I think about, and what do they call it? The joy. Here we go.
In Syria, ISIS and the Caliphate by Paul Sutliff. This short video was made because many people do not understand what is happening in Iraq and Syria. The first thing you need to know is the name of the group that has taken over much of Iraq and Syria. The group of terrorists call themselves ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. Their leader is Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Interestingly, President Obama has another name for the group. He calls them ISIL, the Islamic State of Iraq and Levant. It's important to understand the term Levant. Levant is a pre-World War I term that refers mostly to the eastern coast of the Mediterranean. Now, why would President Obama, the man who is leader of the United States, call a group of terrorists something they do not call themselves? What right does he have to call them something different? If we go back 2 years and refer to an article in WorldNet Daily, you can begin to grasp why Obama thinks he has the right to name this group. The article by WND refers to Safawi, a town in Jordan where U.S. military advisors were assigned by the president to train Syrian fighters to combat Assad's regime. WND was not alone in documenting this. The German weekly Der Spiegel reported this in March of 2013, and the UK Guardian also followed up writing an article. Sadly, no major media outlets in the United States informed the people. But there is more. ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi was captured and detained by U.S. troops at Camp Buka. According to the FBI wanted poster, he claimed responsibility for an attack that killed 24 policemen and wounded 72 others. And as leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq, a.k.a. EQI, he was responsible for a wave of suicide attacks that began in Mosul, Iraq, and culminated in over 70 deaths. He had pledged to carry out 100 attacks across Iraq as retaliation of bin Laden's death. Anyone questioning why this man was not put in Guantanamo? But Obama emptied Camp Buka, releasing everyone. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi said something to the guards that day that I will share later. Abu left with nothing. Somehow, he ended up leading the rebel forces that Iran and other countries are claiming was trained by the United States Special Forces. Now, ISIS controls most of Iraq and Syria. Since the name was Islamic State of Syria and Iraq, you would think the group would be happy with taking both. But if they are ISIL, they are far from done. Add on to this, al-Baghdadi is now self-declared caliph. The picture gets much broader.
Now, my suggestion is if you have not seen the picture of the jihadis, the Taliban, in the capital, take real close attention to how those men are holding their weapons, where their trigger fingers are. That's from training generally by U.S. Special Forces. It's from training. So who trained these people that took over? Are they part of, were they in those teams that were trained? Were they part of the United States trained people to rule Afghanistan? I want you to think about that. Were these part of the ones that Obama had trained? I'm bringing that back up because that's one of the things that I've been watching the military talking about is how they're holding their weapons and what they're doing and how, you know, where their trigger fingers are. It's been interesting listening to these things. Not saying that's it, but it's still. So we have here, we have two incidences where Obama has taken part in releasing people who would become major leaders of jihadi groups. This is two people. We're talking about major jihadi groups, and Obama is involved in this. Now, again, this is, as I just said, it's not the first chess piece that Obama has put in motion. This is the second one. Is this the way Obama is telling us that he's the one making the decisions for Biden? I don't have an answer. I will not be silent about this. The media, if you're listening, they want us silent and compliant. So I have to say, I'm not going to do that. I serve the risen Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to bow down to anybody else. But if you're paying attention to the top of Afghanistan, you should be noticing the feckless, shamefaced bowing of leaders to countries that the as the Taliban takes over and requesting the protection of women and women's rights. The Daily Mail even ran an article on this topic exposing the idiocy of this with one calm, clear voice of understanding and reason placed squarely in the middle, which kind of surprised me. So you have people like the presidents of New Zealand. You have all the, you know, these women saying, oh, protect the women. In the middle of the article by the Daily Mail, they have one voice countering the insanity of people like UN Assembly General Secretary Antonio Guterres. Christian Guy responded to this insanity in a tweet. So Christian Guterres responds, I should just share with you what he was referring to. Antonio Guterres wrote, conflict in Afghanistan is forcing hundreds of thousands to flee amid reports of serious human rights violations. All abuses must stop. International humanitarian law and human rights, especially the hard-won gains of women and girls, must be preserved. Christian Guy wrote this. This man is telling the truth. He wrote, they are raping women and girls, murdering adults, selling 12-year-olds as sex slaves, and they're only just getting restarted. All these international calls for restraint, human rights, and peaceful transition are beyond delusional. They're actually insulting. So who's being neglected here? Let's think about this. What's not being talked about? And this is where things, you have to pay attention. Who have they not mentioned? Why have they not mentioned them? And this is what really bothers me. When they're hiding things, it's who that is not mentioned. Sometimes that is more important to hear. Now, Worthy News came up with this. Now, this is by Stephen J. Bowes, international correspondent for Worthy News. Islamist, again, using Islamist is a misnomer. Islamic Taliban militants ruling Afghanistan have begun executing Christians who refuse to renounce their faith, a well-informed Christian broadcaster said Tuesday. Among those killed are people with a Bible on their smartphone, noted SAT-7 TV, which reaches millions of viewers in the Middle East and North Africa. We're hearing from reliable sources that the Taliban demands people's phones, and if they find a download Bible on your device, they'll kill you immediately, said SAT-7 North American President Dr. Rex Rogers. It's incredibly dangerous right now for Afghans to have anything Christian on their phones. The Taliban has spies and informants everywhere. SAT-7 reported that the resurgent Taliban fighters go door-to-door executing believers who refuse to renounce their faith. Taliban militants are even pulling people off public transport and killing them on the spot if they're Christian or considered ethnically impure. News of the executions come a day after the Taliban announced a news conference that would introduce its strict interpretation of Islam or Sharia law. He had added additional concerns among minority Christians, up to 18,000 by some accounts, most of whom abandon Islam. Under Sharia, anyone becoming a non-Muslim is punishable by death. A non-Muslim, such as a Christian, who leads a Muslim away from Islam also faces execution. SAT-7 suggested that this was a result of the withdrawal of U.S. and international troops from Afghanistan. Without the U.S.-led coalition standing in the way, the Taliban could seize control of vast areas with little or no resistance, the broadcaster said. It happened much more rapidly than political military leaders anticipated. Well, as I've been saying, it didn't. That is misinformation. But to think that they would, you know, this is the hilariousness to me. They start talking about women's rights. They're worried about women's rights. They guaranteed women's rights under Islam. Oh, under Sharia. So women will no longer be allowed to leave the house without a male relative's permission, or unless they're in the company accompanying a male relative. This is where it's going to get interesting, because the women will now be allowed to be treated as cattle. What do I mean by that? Well, you're not a human being if you're not considered. This is where that you're going to come back to treating The women are under Sharia are they don't even get a full representation in a court. They're considered half a man in a court of law under Sharia. So they will lose everything. There's no way they have a voice. It's not possible under Islam. You have to remember Muhammad said that women, the hell is filled with women. All right? These are things that have to be known. Saying otherwise is foolish. So who's happy about all this? Well, we know Al-Qaeda is happy. They've been making statements openly, and they've been recorded by Memory, Middle East Media Research Institute. Qatar's protégés, Hamas officials, Muslim Brotherhood, Al Jazeera reporters are all praising Taliban's jihad and victory. Think about that. Is there actually an entity out there that is a terrorist organization that does that the Muslim Brotherhood doesn't have its feet into? This is just crazy. Now, with all this said, I want you to think about how the press is playing us, making this seem like it's been, that this has been a really quick takeover. Well, as I've just told you, this was months and months in advance, highly planned, and it wasn't a takeover within a few days. That is misinformation. This was a long planned out and well planned out takeover. We've seen it coming since last September. Mike Pompeo talked about it. President Trump talked about it. But again, no, people say this happened quickly. What happened quickly was the bungle where Biden removed the protection of the American citizens who were in Afghanistan. They should have been told to leave and made to leave before the military started to leave. Now, what's interesting on this thing is that they just did an interview in the Pentagon. I believe that was today. And the leader in the Pentagon, whose voice they were listening to, had no idea how many people were American citizens were in Afghanistan. And I've been following this story for weeks. And I have been hearing the same number over and over and over again. The number is roughly 14,000. I don't have a security clearance. And if I can know that number, because it's been expounded in the media repeatedly, that this person in the Pentagon has no clue about this 14,000 number, how is it possible that he doesn't know? I have some concerns when I hear that. Now, what you're hearing and seeing in the media and by the government today has me concerned. And what this is all coming down to, even with pushing the COVID mandates, which I'm going to be talking about shortly, is all about being in control, the government trying to be authoritarian. And the media backing them by pushing propaganda, misinformation. Because of that, I wanted to play a little light, sarcastic humor because some of this is just hard to listen to. Now, what do I mean by this? I have this on here. Okay. So I'm back.
The joy of VCR.
They don't want you to say something. Comes back and bites you. And let me get this muted again. All right. Okay, echo effect back off. I wanted to play a JB Awakens, and I want to make sure I have this. I thought I had it up here. Gibby awake and sarcastic. It's a sarcastic thing on authoritarians. And just a second, and I will pull that up and play it. So let me pull this up. I'll play it so you can hear it. The joy of, I don't know if you go to anything with, and now I've got to find it. Ah, I don't know if you've been listening to YouTube at all, but JB Awakens does some incredible stuff. And I have been enjoying his work. It's his channel, JB Awakens. And I wanted to share with you something he did called If Authoritarians Taught Self-Help. Now, I'm going to play this in a few seconds for you, and it will make you laugh because we have to do some laughing in the middle of all this sadness. So let me, so I'm going to play this. What happens if authoritarians teach self-help? Now pay close attention. This should be able to be played. Here we go.
Now, I am the sheep. I will destroy what is free. I will follow, not lead. Obey! Welcome to Unleash the Obedience Within. Thinking you can do more, be more, have more, contribute to a better world, go after your dreams, that ultimately leads you to danger. So you want to work on limiting those beliefs. That's what we're here to do together. So you can have an ordinary life on someone else's terms. I should be scared. What's wrong with this statement? That's right. It's a limiting belief. Now, what could you say to go beyond this limiting belief? I should be really scared. Let me ask you this question. When someone is abusing you, what are they really doing? Protecting you. Now, when I was just a kid, I thought I could be something. But I had an uncle who helped me out. He mercilessly beat me and tell me I'm nothing. I internalized that care. And now I want to give that to you. In this next section, I want to explore how to free yourself from the burden of thinking for yourself. So understand that any thought you have that's not in line with the one true narrative given to you by the state is a thought based in either extremism, racism, or hate, but probably all three. Now, if you catch yourself being mentally defective enough where you're thinking an unapproved thought, you should feel wrong and like you're the only one thinking this thought, because you are. But there's hope for you. Simple mandatory steps you should take to free yourself from thinking for yourself are: always have the TV on, repeat what you hear often, and meet all dissenting points of view with rage. This emotion will give you an unbelievable level of certainty about the beliefs that you're told to think. Now, the importance of goals is not having them, because if you want an ordinary life, goals are only going to get in the way. Next, what we're going to do, and I know you've heard about this, we're going to get to the pillow walk. Now, this will be a challenging experience, where if you have the courage to go through with it, you'll develop the strength to never go outside of your comfort zone ever again. There's only one fundamental human need we all have, and that's safety. Nothing else really matters. And if you're willing to take the leap and step into new levels of obedience, you'll have all the safety you could ever dream of. What's worse than doubt or regret? Bravery. Freedom is dangerous. If you're around freedom long enough, it'll result in an excruciatingly painful certain death. What's the one thing that will protect you from the dangers of freedom? Obedience. There's three sources of wisdom in life. And you're never going to step into the glory of an ordinary life on someone else's terms unless you know what they are. But before I tell you what they are, do you want to know what those disease-carrying others think are the sources of wisdom in life? The heart, the brain, and God. I know. soon we'll be able to channel that rage and beat those varmints in the streets. But we're not quite at the dehumanization stage in our journey yet. So you won't have to be one of the others. You'll want to know the three true sources of wisdom are the news, the censors, and the fact checkers. Nothing else is to be trusted. Do you understand? In my new book, How to Turn In Friends and Imprison People, I talk about how to elevate your social credit score through a fun system of compliance and cleansing. Now let's take a look at how you can replace self-responsibility with self-doubt. Now, there's four keys to having an ordinary life on someone else's terms, which is ultimately what's going to get you a good social credit score. They are socialism, hate others that are different, imprison political rivals, and totalitarianism, or shit. So if you want a shit life, then this is what you need. Now repeat after me. I am the sheep.
I am the sheep.
I am a follower, not a leader.
I am a follower.
I will obey, not be free.
I will obey, not be free.
I will fall in line.
I will fall in line.
Obedience is what protects me.
Obedience is what protects me.
Censorship protects me. I will obey, not be free.
Obey.
Now, paying attention, some of this just sounds insanely foolish. It does. It just sounds insanely foolish. And again, that's J.B. Sears. He does J.B. Awakens, or Awaken with J.P. on YouTube, and I recommend it highly. What am I concerned about here? What am I playing this for? This sarcastic, humorous view of how authoritarians are running the country, are running things. And this is, they're doing things to keep you obedient. They're doing things to keep you from knowledge. The stuff I shared with you, it's all out there. It's all freely available for you to find and listen to. But it's not being shared with the average American citizen. It's not being put out on regular TV or on regular radio. My concern is all that's being hidden from you. So that's one of the reasons why the Sutlefian Report exists, is to keep you from having news hidden from you, to get the truth out. One of those things, COVID-19, that's out there, there's a stuff that I have been reading on this and keeping up with, which, you know, it never ceases to amaze me what I'm learning. One of the new medical studies on COVID-19, the medical community is now starting to request people should be tested for antibodies prior to getting this gene therapy that they masquerade as vaccines. Now, this part really bothers me because the study goes back. It was published in March of 2021 in the Ecology Evolution of Epidemiology of Coronaviruses. It's entitled Self-Reported Real-World Safety and Reactogenicity of COVID-19 Vaccines, a Vaccine Recipient Survey. It revealed that an online survey was conducted to compare safety, tolerability, and reactogenicity of available COVID-19 gene therapies, they're calling vaccines, in different recipient groups. The survey was launched in February 2021 and ran for 11 days. Recipients of a first COVID-19 vaccine dose greater than 7 days prior to survey completion were eligible. The incidence and severity of vaccination side effects were assessed. The survey was completed by 2,002 respondents, of whom 26.6% had a prior COVID-19 infection. A prior COVID-19 infection was associated with an increased risk of side effects with 95% confidence intervals. Think about that. We're talking about fever. We're talking about breathlessness, flu-like symptoms, fatigue, and local breathlessness, and local reactions. It was also associated with an increased risk and severe side effects leading to hospital care. These mRNA vaccines, they're calling them, was associated with a higher incidence of any side effect. I want you to think about this. They're saying that, I mean, this medical study reveals that you should be asked if you're getting one of these gene therapies masquerading as a vaccine, that you should be asked if you've had COVID-19 before you get this vaccine, because it could be dangerous to you. It could create some health issues for you. And if you're not sure, maybe you should go find to have that antibody test. Now, I've been reading and listening a lot, and one of the things I keep hearing on this topic is that we destroyed our ability to create herd immunity by vaccinating people. I'm hearing that from multiple doctors on multiple sites now, and I'm not surprised. I didn't know what to think when things were starting, when they were talking about a vaccine to begin with, because that's the same stuff I heard back then. Now, this is back when Trump was in office, and they began to talk about shutting things down when they were talking about a vaccine to begin with. I heard this same information, and now it's being said repeatedly. I mean, the medical doctors are bringing this up again. So I'm really, really concerned about this. Now, I don't know, going on that same topic of I don't know if you've paid attention that, you know, Obama's bash this last week had been confirmed as a super spreader event. I don't know if you heard that. It was confirmed that there's a lot of people at this past president, his place, smoking pot openly. I guess it's normal nowadays for some places, but that's just the one thing you want to see at a presidential party is people smoking pot. And that's one of the things that they did. And they did confirm that many, I think they had listed, if I remember the correct number was 61 people from his party had COVID-19. What does that mean? Oh, well, how many did they give it to? According to the articles I was reading last week and sharing with people, each one of those persons had the ability to spread it to 7 more people. So 6 to 7 more people. So if they had, that says something. Did they create a super spreader event? Did Obama do that? Well, that's the way it is. Also this past week, if you were paying attention, the former King Andy, also known as Governor Andrew Cuomo, had resigned. And he's only got a few days left, but did you know what he did this week? This week, he commuted sentences of convicted murderers and drug dealers. What's next? Some are wondering if Cuomo is daring enough to pardon himself from future crimes that he may be convicted of yet. Some of these things, you just sit there and go, why? And this is the joy of living in Libland. Now, living in Libland has other problems, like you have friends. Elders, if you have loved ones in elder care, you may be still being kept from seeing your loved ones. You may be informed that you must wear a hospital gown and you must be, you know, totally dressed up to see them in disposable gear, because God forbid you should touch your loved one. That stuff is still going on, people in Libland. Some of this stuff is just bad. Now, I've talked about, I mentioned the authoritarian regime, and you're seeing this in New York City. They've started to institute a, quote, vaccine passport, and there are businesses openly defying that. Thank you that there are some Americans who understand the concept of liberty in New York City. But they're trying to keep people from shopping. They're trying to keep people from making any purchases if they don't have these vaccine passports. Again, the insanity is that there is no vaccine out there. These are gene therapies. These are not vaccines. And you talk to any medical professional, they will generally tell you that's the truth. When the manufacturers refuse to call things vaccines, when the FDA refuses to call these vaccines, how can people be required to get them when, again, there is no vaccine out there. Even though people like President Trump have pushed this, these are not vaccines. They are gene therapies. So I don't know if you've caught what's going on out there on this respect. China is looking at how America is behaving recently. And they ran an article this week. Came out yesterday. The U.S. is becoming USSR 2.0. It's in their Chinese propaganda time, the Global Times. It's titled, The U.S. is becoming USSR 2.0. It's an opinion piece. They write, an overconfident America risks going down the same path as the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, warns Russian President Vladimir Putin at the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum. In addition to Putin, the Russian director of the Foreign Intelligence Service, Sergei Naryshkin, a foreign ministry spokeswoman, Maria Zakharova, Neil Eurasian founder, Alaskandar Dugin, and other witnesses of the former Soviet Union, former Defense Intelligence Agency officer, Russian-American scholar Rebecca Kofler, also all talked about the U.S. going down the Soviet Union's old path. Symptom one, interest groups. In the USSR, the self-proclaimed dignitaries of large bureaucratic classes were parasitic on all aspects of Soviet society. They took advantage of their privileges and welfare. Under the highly centralized planned economy of the Soviet Union, the number of commodities that ordinary people could consume were strictly limited. But the dignitaries have privileges to obtain all kinds of scarce commodities, such as TVs and cars. Today, the American ruling class have become new dignitaries, for example. During the lockdown, politicians went to expensive restaurants, got haircuts. Who are we talking about there? Could that be Nancy Pelosi? And traveled on luxury vacations. Oh, who would that be? While the rest of us hunkered down, grew long hair, and tried to pacify our kids who were bouncing off the walls during online education. Symptom two, abusing military force. Soviet Union's intervention in foreign countries was unrestrained. It not only sent troops to Hungary, but also Czechoslovakia, Afghanistan, and others engaging in arms races with the United States. It led to soaring military spending and severe restrictions. Since the 21st century, the U.S. military has launched numerous wars, such as the Iraq War, the Afghanistan War. And they're talking about the expenses. Symptom three, totalitarianism. Soviet Union once practiced chauvinism and advocated for limited sovereignty, which eventually led to the disintegration of the socialist camp. Today, the United States believes in neoliberalism, the survival of the fittest and winner take all. America turned into liberal totalitarian state sprinkled with traits of oligarchy elite and ideology and media monopoly and a police state. This is in full compliance with the standards of totalitarian regime and expounded by the former U.S. National Security Assistant, Brzezinski. Symptom four, political correctness. Soviet Union once vigorously supported dissidents. Neoliberalism in the U.S. has now become extreme and absolute. The rights of ethnic minorities have become the absolute standard of political correctness. Any speech that does not conform to liberal ideology is presumed guilty. Even Trump, who won 75 million ballots in the general election, is silenced by the media and internet giants at their convenience. However, numerous requests for political correctness and diversified political identities have not bridged gaps in American society. Instead, it's created more dissidents. Anti-intellectual populist movements such as QAnon and the Proud Boys are spreading like wildfire in the United States. It's interesting who they're pointing out to look that way. Are they targeting these people? Again, this is Chinese propaganda, but they're calling us the Soviet Union 2.0. Is that wishful thinking or are we there? We are darn close, people. We are darn close. Is this something good? No. But when China's recognizing that this is the road that Biden and Obama have put us on, and it would have been faster if we'd had Hillary in the meantime, it's something to think about. I have a lot of questions about who's really pulling the strings here. Is Obama pulling the strings and is he controlling things? I don't know. But it says something when China is calling us Soviet Union 2.0. Think about it. Now, I have a few more articles that I want to cover. But first, let's go across the pond to UK, where Shamima Begum, I don't know if you've heard her name in a while, but her lawyer's in a little bit of trouble. And I want to talk about that. Shamima Begum, now she's one of these ISIS bride lawyers that was returned to her country of origin, which was the UK. ISIS bride Shamima Begum's lawyer, Mohammed Tasneem Akunji, is being investigated by the Solicitors Regulation Authority. Now, Joshua Winston has this story, and I think it's actually very important. It's titled, ISIS Bride's Lawyer Hails Return of Taliban, The Boys Are Back in Town. Pay real close attention to this. This is a really well-written article. Akunji tweets about Kabul under a picture of the new Taliban leadership sitting inside the presidential palace. Akunji tweeted, The boys are back in town. He also included a link to the Thin Lizzy song of the same name, and he wrote, Enjoy. If you listen to the song lyrics, the boys are a wild and crazy, drink and drug-loving gang, people's women, who like to fight and party. Akunji says, we aren't understanding this tweet because we have no concept of irony. Just 2 weeks ago, the SRA concluded an investigation into him in relation to online abuse he was giving out to a trans user on Twitter. The SRA, as a result of their findings, contacted Akunji and offered guidance as to what constitutes good online behavior for him from that moment on. The warning to Akunji builds on a previous notice the SRA put out in 2017, alerting lawyers to be careful with their tweets, as they can be considered to be malicious communications. Akunji must consider himself to be above the law. He was tweeting repugnant things in relation to Lee Rigby, who was beheaded by jihadis on London Street, blaming the British government for creating his killers and likening his client, the ISIS bride Shamima Begum, to innocent 13-year-old British rape victims. That's okay. As he's the elite. Isn't that what they were talking about with that Chinese article? The elite. He doesn't get charged the same crimes. No, he's let off. Does that sound familiar, people? Isn't that what's happening here? Isn't that why Hillary's not in jail? Isn't that why Biden and Obama are not charged with acts of treason? Is that why Pelosi and a few others are not charged with treason for some of the acts that they have committed? The elite don't get punished anymore. We used to be the country where no one was above the law. And I think we have to return to that. I'm going to be sharing some of my ideas on this as the next few weeks come out. And I will be sharing some of what I think is important on how to do this. A lot of this has to do with what we teach today in public schools, because we have given up on teaching moral stories. So as part of what I'm talking about, as I will be sharing some of those moral stories that we used to read to our children on a regular basis. And I think I will be finding a way to put that into our into the show, possibly just one story a week. I don't know. I've got to figure that out, because I think the news is extremely important. But I think we're losing out on what made America great. What made it great? I think that we have missed, we are having our history hidden, and that is why some of this insanity is allowed. This is scary, people. Hard to believe when you hear some of these things that this is going on. It's just hard. But what does it mean when we don't protect our own, is what we're getting at now. I don't believe the United Kingdom, that much of Europe protects its own anymore. This is one of the problems I have with watching some of these things happen. They brought an ISIS bride home. And are they trusting that she will not raise her children to become jihadis? That's really trusting. that was one of the reasons I would have recommended, you know, you went there, you chose to burn your passports, you can stay. That was a choice you made as an adult. You made an action to leave your country. Again, they were saying 13 years old. I don't care. You make that choice. Sometimes you've got to pay that price. I'm not saying a 13-year-old has all the brains that they need. But if they're going to take an action that adults make that are crimes, like treason, which is what she did. She committed an act of treason. And they took her back. The penalty for treason is generally death. They would not have to touch her or convict her of that by simply leaving her there. Our problem in the United States is we do not charge people with treason anymore. We charge people with crime of terrorism. Why is that dangerous? Number one reason it's dangerous and not charging them with a crime of treason is because in 20 years, that's generally the majority of the sentences for terrorism, they let people out. But it's even less than that. See, in the United States and countries like Canada and UK, you get time off for good behavior. So you might serve 50% of your time and still not change your beliefs. And right, go and just go out there and be better at committing an act of terror next time. I want to talk about other things that are happening around the world before I close out this show. One of those is what's been happening in Israel. Israel tends to get the bad picture placed upon them. The media tells a whole bunch of lies about what's happening over there. I, for the life of me, I can't understand their reasoning for doing this when so much of this information is public. And they work hard to hide the truth from the average person, and I find that offensive. Why do they think it's important to hide the truth from us? This article that I found came out August 12th. I find extremely important that we get this information out. Well, this one's called Hamas Bars UN Team. United Nations team from inspecting tunnel under UNRWA school in Gaza. This is by it's on Israeli Hayom.com. And let me tell you that I think everyone should go and read this article. The article says Hamas prevented a team of UN inspectors from examining a tunnel discovered in June under a school in Gaza City, Zaytun neighborhood, Israel Khan's News reported on Tuesday. Citing Palestinian sources, the report stated that a UN Mine Action Service bomb disposal unit had arrived at the site a few days ago, some 2 months after the initial discovery at the request of the UN Art Relief and Workers Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA. Again, refugee means that you have left your country, okay? So if left their country, then they don't really belong there. That would mean that they're from some other place than where they are, correct? And they fear being persecuted. Okay, so who are they running from, and who are they fearing being persecuted by? Think about that, because this term does not fit those people. They have been raised there. They have lived their entire lives there. They are not refugees, but they are still called that. And this is why you cannot trust the UN. So keep paying attention. That's the story about the refugee term. It says, upon learning of the presence of the Mine Action Service bomb disposal unit, Hamas police arrived at the scene and forced them to leave. So they removed the bomb disposal people from investigating the tunnels underneath the school. Scary. What were they worried about that they would find? In the absence of safety inspections, the schools will not be able to open as scheduled. Oh, wow. Well, how did they not know about these tunnels? I want you to think about that. What's under there? Well, there, one of the things that's been said for quite a long time is that the Palestinian organizations have been using schools as military locations for things like bombs, weapons, and things like that. Now, these are considered these are war crimes. But that's okay to hide. You won't hear this on the regular media because they think it's important to hide that from you. This is the stuff that makes me angry and continue to be get me out there telling the truth. I don't know what we can do to get these stories out besides me sharing them with you. I want the truth to be out. And then there's these stupid things like, you know, not prosecuting people for committing these horrible crimes like rape because they're Muslim and they don't know any better because these are accepted crimes in their culture. Sexual harassment, acceptable in their culture if you're not wearing a burqa. Sweden's having a hard time. They've had a child that they arrested who committed sex crimes against other kids. He was charged as an adult because his crimes were so offensive, and they turned around and gave him money because he was charged as an adult. This insanity. I will never be able to understand not protecting your own. And that's one of the things we're continuing to see happen. Now, I want to let you know that I am hopefully going to have Todd Benzman join me next week. And we're going to be talking about this push, this hijra into the United States. We'll probably be talking about the thousands of Afghanistan people that are being brought to the United States courtesy of Joe Biden. They're talking about 5,000 people a day they're going to be bringing out of Afghanistan straight to the United States. Now, wait a minute. 5,000 people a day. They were talking about for 10 to 15 days at that. But there's only 15,000 Americans. Why do they need to bring that many others? Are we going to vet these people before they get on the plane? Where are they going then? How are they going to get back to their country? These are serious questions that are not being answered by the Biden administration. Why are these people being brought over without being vetted? Serious, serious, serious questions to be asked. 14,000 Americans left there. He's actually negotiating with the Taliban. So he's acknowledging their leadership, and yet he can't even hold a conversation on regular, his regular talks that he's. And say he doesn't do regular talks, but when he does a news conference, he can't answer questions without reading from a monitor or being told what to say. This is scary stuff. Pay close attention to another thing I'm going to talk about, this Afghanistan thing. Pay close attention to the pictures that were taken of him alone in a room at Camp David, wherever he was. I thought it was Camp David. Pay special attention to those pictures. The person who took those pictures outed members of the CIA. This was done by Biden's team. This is scary stuff. But that's okay because he's a Democrat. They're not going to prosecute. They won't expose those people guilty of those crimes. But God forbid it would have been a Republican doing that. They would have been in jail. We can see this in my own town of Rochester, where the mayor is a Democrat. Her husband has committed drug felonies, had a unlicensed weapon in their bedroom, and it's okay. She's not going to be prosecuted. Her husband might be, but she's the politician. I'm going to call it a night. I don't know if anybody's aware, but this week I had some knee surgery done, and I'm still recuperating. I thank for those who know and have been praying for me. I'm doing fine. I just got my bandages off today and starting to walk around a little bit better. It's been nice to be recovering. And I want to say thank you all for listening. This information gets out there because I do research and crazily love it. My concern is that we don't get this information out enough. How do we do that? And I'm not sharing enough as I'd like to through my regular venues of Facebook and LinkedIn. But what I would like to say for you to do is become a researcher, become a reader. Stop trusting the media to give you the truth. I would say you can no longer trust the media. You must find out the information for yourself. You can no longer trust the government. You can't trust what's on the news. You have to go find out for yourself. Start doing that today. Find sources that you consider to be truthful. Be able to prove they're truthful. And then we'll go back to Reagan's and Kennedy's and all these other great men who talked about how do you do things. One of them is trust but verify. People, we've got to get back to that. You have to verify everything. That used to be a standard in the news. Now they just say it's from Anonymous and they make stuff up. They're calling Republicans more dangerous than Al-Qaeda. At the same time, the Democrats have reinforced Al-Qaeda once again. Now, I have to say, pay attention to what's going on around you. Get the information out. Share stories like, share this link to the show. Share Global Patriot Radio out there. Share Southern Sense Radio out there. Share Hank Jones, all this work that Global Patriot Radio and many others are doing out there. Get the information out. There is also a group out there called Republican, a new group that I'm starting to work with, Republican Party Network. I'm going to recommend people start to connect with that. RepublicanPartyNetwork.com. Go there. This is a group of Republicans that want to take the country back. They don't want rhinos in. They want to stand on the party platform. They want to stand behind the police and do things publicly. They want to do they want to stand against mass mandates. They want people to know that they want the law and they want the party to return to standing behind what it originally did. We have to be able to stand up, people. We can't just let things happen. We can't let things slide. We've got to be informative. We've got to make sure people get the information they need. Not doing that makes us guilty. One of the most important things my father taught me is that you are responsible for what you know. What are you doing with that today? It's time to start thinking about that knowledge that you have. What are you doing with it? So with that said, I'm going to send us off with courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see your glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Till the day that he died, he wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. It's all brought to you courtesy of